Hey, it's Chaos Queen here, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hey, it's Mistress Carrie, and you are listening to Studio 2009.
Yeah, well, that figures. Listen, Shigaran, it's bad news. All right, it's the real deal. You see this guy in control, we're going to see the whole thing fall apart. I'm talking terrorism, WMDs, nukes. Someone's got to stop him.
Well, that's what we do. We go out to Chief Pep and do our thing.
Our thing?
Yeah. Go out there and kill all the scumbags.
There is nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome back into our studio. You are now inside Studio 2009, only on the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm, of course, Chief Joe and Mike. Joining me once again, as always, is Steve Megatron. Hello, sir. How are you?
Yo.
Today we are concluding the 5-episode arc here inside Christmas in July, the specialty series covering every Die Hard film from the first one 37 years ago all the way up to Die Hard 5 from 2013. Holy crap, we made it. We did it. We have succeeded. These are, folks, the definitive Studio 2009 discussions on the Die Hard franchise. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying these are the definitive GCRN ones. I'm just saying these are the definitive versions of these movies that Steve and I have talked about for this specific podcast on our network. Because heaven forbid I say anything else. Today, we are closing out with whether or not it is a good day to Die Hard. First of all, 2013 in film. Holy crap. Because, wow. The only thing I remember from 2013 just offhand is Iron Man 3. Because I really enjoyed Iron Man 3. More so for Brian Tyler's musical score from that film. I liked the film overall, but it was the musical score. Like, I still listen to that score. But, yeah, 2013 in film, the top 10. The Hunger Games Catching Fire at number 1. Iron Man 3 at number 2. Frozen at number 3. Despicable Me 2 at number 4. Man of Steel at number 5. Gravity, which I actually had to look at that to remember what that was. That's a Sandra Bullock thing from Warner Brothers. Monsters University. The Hobbit. The Desolation of Smaug. Fast and the Furious 6, which, folks, yes, the Fast and the Furious franchise reviews with my buddy Sean and I are coming up next after this. They will start in episode 146. So Fast and the Furious 6 came in at number 9, and Oz the Great and Powerful came in at number 10. Now, I'm not going to go through the entirety of the year of 2013, but the coolest thing to me, when I look up list of American films of, and then you put in whatever year it is on Wikipedia, it gives you the top 10 box office, and then it lists you per the month, like January through March, April through whatever, and it lists all of the films that were released. Like, just off the top of my head as I'm scrolling really fast through here. Damn it, I'm scrolling too fast. The Croods, Olympus Has Fallen, Phil Spector, G.I. Joe Retaliation, Star Trek Into Darkness came out in 2013. As Steve inaudibly gasps and shudders in silence. And then gives a audible, disgusted sigh. The what else came out in 2013? I already mentioned Fast and the Furious 6. After Earth came out in 2013. Kings of Summer. One of the films that actually is only a trilogy currently right now. One of the ones that I actually really like is Now You See Me. That first film.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, I love that movie. Those are both good. Yeah. I haven't seen the third one yet, but the first two.
Well, the third one's not out.
Oh, it's not out yet? I thought it was out already.
Okay. Nope.
World War Z came out that year. You know, you've got a whole bunch of stuff that, like, when I saw that this movie, this final movie, A Good Day to Die Hard, came out in 2013, my first thought was, okay, besides Iron Man 3, what else came out in 2013? Again, this is before I did any research, before I looked at any lists, before I looked at anything. I couldn't think of anything else that came out in 2013. However, I will say, A Good Day to Die Hard should have been a summer movie. I'm not saying it's a summer blockbuster, and we're going to get into the plot and the story and all this and all that. Whatever, fine. But this is not a date. This is not a date movie. Like,
it was a crappy movie.
It was released on Valentine's Day. That's why it bombed. I know. This was released on Valentine's Day 2013. What is it with Hollywood and studios releasing these action films? Any action film, I don't care what kind of, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's Die Hard. I don't care if it's Drop Zone. I don't care if it's Daredevil, because Daredevil was released on February 14th, 2003. And I like Daredevil. Don't get me wrong. I like Daredevil. But I don't understand why Hollywood has to release these, why they bury these action movies on Valentine's Day.
Like, the only thing I can think of is they're trying to kill it. It's the only logical thing for me.
In this movie's case, I would understand, yes. But like I don't understand why. Unless
it was like a romantic comedy action film,
yeah,
like Mr. something okay. that something Mr. like Mr. the Smith Gerard Butler or yeah. Tom Cruise, you know, those ones that they did the you know, the action film where they're kind of like the spy or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Well. Perfect example is 2005's Mr. and Mrs. I think it's 2005, Mr. and Mrs. Smith with Brangelina. That's a spy sort of action romantic whatever, where they're working for opposite ends of the CIA or whatever, or opposite factions of each other, and they don't know kind of thing. So this is so that I can see, but like Die Hard on Valentine's Day. I'm dying over here. See, folks, it is a good day to die hard.
Well, it's not even like, you know, like, yes, Mr. and Mrs. Smith or Night and Day with Tom Cruise.
Yep.
That was funny.
Yeah, that was funny.
Or Date Night with Steve Carell.
Yep. That's good. Yeah.
Even Adam Sandler's murder mystery, which was like a take on Clue on a cruise ship.
With
him and Jennifer Aniston. So, I mean, there's all these different ones, and yet this had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, exactly. So, going by our script here, so we know Guys Night, amazing band that came up with the Die Hard song that we've been quoting in the past four movies. Did you come up with a fifth verse or no?
I did not.
Okay, good.
I started working on one. I started writing it, and then I was looking for like inspiration from, I even asked AI about it, and it was like even kind of, you know, coming up short, just because, I mean, it came up with something, but it was like almost trying too hard to make it work. And I was like, even AI had a hard time because the movie was that bad. But no, I mean, I tried to write one, and I honestly was looking at it. I was like, I'd much rather put this effort towards like another Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No worries. Because,
I mean, I never even reviewed the fifth one of that when I did Emwire.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And look. So. This movie is Okay, I'm just going to run down my notes. Before we even talk about the plot, I'm just going to take you through my notes and what my thought process was as I watched this. As I said, and I think I said this in episode 143, and I think I said it in episode 144. So the With a Vengeance and the Die Hard and Live Free or Die Hard. I have, other than the two trailers that I had sent you, I think, I had never seen this movie. I had no intentions of seeing this movie. For me, Die Hard ends with Live Free or Die Hard. I'd never seen it. It's 2025. It's been 12 years since this movie got released in theaters and released to the whatever. So I literally went in on this cold, other than the two trailers. By the time we record this and release it, it's like been 3 weeks since I saw those. I intentionally did not look at the Wikipedia article, did not look at the plot, did not look at anything whatsoever before clicking play 3.5 hours ago. Literally, I watched, and that's the way I've been doing these, folks, and that's the way I always do the stuff before I do a Studio 2009 recording. I watch whatever it is the day, as long as it's not like a 26 episode long television show, or heaven forbid, a show that has 85 episodes or something. If it's just a movie or whatever, or a couple of movies, I'll watch it the day of, so that way it's so fresh in my mind. I'm just going to run. I was 40 minutes into this movie, and it's all action with a few bits of dialogue here and there. And then the next line after that was, double-crossing daughter? I didn't even think she was his daughter. Didn't even realize it. Next note, probably like another 30 minutes in. In all caps, if they fucking have to go to Chernobyl for period, in all caps, MUTHA, you know what that is, motherfucker, in all caps, !! Laysai. Lowercase, it's about money, 1,000 periods, all caps, it's always about money! I'm glad we're, other than the fact that, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but I'm glad no more Die Hard. I'm glad, absolutely glad. If they reboot this with new actors and whatever, I'm not showing up. Because they're just going to do the same damn thing. However, this movie wasn't as bad as I thought it was originally going into it. Because it's not, even though it's not something I'd revisit anytime soon, the best parts about this were the father-son moments between John and Jack. That's the best thing out of this whole movie, is their interactions. Whether it's a good interaction or a bad interaction, but like when they first see each other and their camaraderie and their back and forth and this, that. All of that I love. The rest of this movie is just action, explosions, and blah, blah, blah. Ugh. Yes, your thoughts?
Well, I was going to say, this is actually the first original story.
Yeah, but
For Die Hard, like, the rest of them were based off of a book, and then they kind of inserted John McClane and kind of made it work.
Yeah, but
But this had mixed to negative reviews from both fans and critics, while the other films did not. This even had it says, while the action scenes were praised by even the harshest critics, many still were dissatisfied with the story setup. People were complaining about Jai Courtney as Jack, and, you know, they didn't really have a chemistry per se, in that Willis was more of a, you know, supporting character. He didn't really have a true character like, you know, Sam Jackson or Justin Long. It was kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
I don't know. This film got a 3 out of 5 rating by some places, and it had a 14% rotten with critics and 48% rotten from audiences, which I don't care about, you know, that, but it was funny because Bruce Willis had signed on to do a 6th Die Hard film, and it was going to be called Die Hardest.
Oh no.
And
no.
And this was in 2013. So right. it was written, you know, script was written at that time. The locations for the story were going to include New York and Tokyo's main settings for that film. So then it went into pre-production in 2024 or 2014. And then in 2015, a prequel sequel titled Die Hard Year One was announced, which would show a younger John McClane and Holly in the 1970s. Yeah. And then also, you know, take place in present day. So, you know, in 2018, the project was retooled under the title, you know, McClane,
yeah,
which would have incorporated elements of the year one project. And then in 2019, the project was taken off Fox's slate because Disney bought them. And so they canceled the sixth Die Hard film and are planning to reboot the series for the streaming on Hulu at that time. And then it said in 2020, Bruce Willis reprised the role of John McClane for a 2-minute short film commercial advertising Die Hard car battery. And then that was it. Like that was it. But I know the plan was for that sixth film was they were going to have, you know, it was going to be Die Hard Year One or McClane, and yeah, they were going to have it be the conclusion to the whole series. Like they were going to totally wrap it, be done, you know, two trilogies, boom. McClane, you know, Bruce Willis was going to be in it. And then they were going to have like this kind of Japanese plot of sorts where he was a rookie cop in the 70s and he was, you know, trying to solve some attack on himself. Like he was severely wounded and hospitalized for McClane and in the future or something. And then kind of flashing back and then, they were going to do like kind of a run through part of his history and dealing with everything else. And a lot of different ideas were going to be in it. They were talking about bringing back Al Powell and Zeus and his daughter's son, Matt Farrell, for the current timeline.
Cool. Yeah.
And then they were going to use archive footage of like Simon Gruber and then, you know, Holly and yeah. So I would have liked to have seen them tie it up properly at that point, just to see what they did with it, you know, kind of, cause that would have been unique. That would have had him, you know, dealing with something that he had happened while he was a rookie cop and dealing with the fallout of it, you know, 30 plus years later. And so in that instance, it would have been interesting. But instead we got like, I don't really need him going out of the country. Like his whole shtick is like,
New York or LA.
He's grounded in a city.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing is now, if they want to, you know, reboot it with, you know, different actors doing the roles and things like that, whatever, that's fine. But, you know, it is what it is, because now he retired from acting in 2022 because of his he suffers from FTD, which is a form of dementia. His health is not good. He's not like on the way out, but I just saw an article. I have it pulled up here now where he can't basically speak or read, or like he's not doing very well.
No, so, and I feel horrible for the guy.
I feel so bad.
He's one like, of my, you know, him and like Arnold are kind of my favorite like 80s action stars.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Absolutely love him. I know back in the day, I think it was on the original MWR, maybe it was on Geekcast Radio, we did we only did a Shatner spotlight.
It was like the very first episode.
Yeah. It was one of the very first episodes.
I feel like we should revisit some of the spotlights of certain actors and like our top five favorite films each or something, or their top 10 highest grossing films or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, I feel like Arnold should have one, you know, Bruce Willis.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Tom Cruise, you know, I mean, there's so many great, I mean, I forgot to include him with the 80s action, but yeah, he was a big part of it too.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, no, like this movie, like I was having fun watching it. I enjoyed it. Looking at Jai Courtney's filmography, I had never heard of this guy before, not before this. I'd known about him, but like I've never seen Jack Reacher. I've never gotten into that world. I know it's a Tom Cruise thing. The first thing I had seen him in was, that's not what it was. For some odd reason, somebody told me to watch Terminator Genesis from 2015. I forget who told me.
It's not that bad.
No, I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm just saying somebody told me to watch it. I forget who it was. But I saw him in that as Kyle Reese, and I thought he was okay. I thought he was a decent actor. He's not like the best actor in the world, but I thought he was okay. But just looking at his filmography, there's not a lot here that like he was in both Suicide Squad movies as Captain Boomerang. Yeah. Wait, is that really what I think it is? No, it better not be. TBA War Machine? Special Ops Boot Camp, who faced deadly force from another war. Okay. He's supposed to be in something called War Machine, but every time I see the name War Machine, the first thing I think of is Rhodey and Marvel. He was in a movie this year called Dangerous Animals. I have no idea what that is. In this movie specifically, A Good Day to Die Hard, he's okay. He's a little stiff, but his character, I think, is supposed, like, Jack McClane is supposed, like, Dad, what are you doing here? Get out of here. You're screwing things up. Like, he's supposed to be a little stiff, and you see the cracks in that stiffness as the film goes along, because you kind of see, like, again, you're kind of seeing father and son together again, and you're kind of seeing like that when they're driving to Chernobyl.
You sleeping? I was. Jet lag. When was the last time we were in a car together? Drive home from Trenton. I'd bail you out for that weapons charge. Yeah? No, it was the fire thing, right? When you set South Philly on fire, you mean? You take out a second mortgage on the house and make you bail. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. It was funny. We're going to Chernobyl. Yeah. The Chernobyl. The radioactive joint meltdown?
That's the one.
It's not the Chernobyl in Switzerland, right?
With all the skiing and the snow and everything?
You mean Grenoble?
No, sorry, we're not going to Grenoble.
And they have to talk to each other because they're in the same car. They can't just sit there. Well, they could just sit there, but you have to cover that time. And they talk about the time when this and the time when that and whatever. So I kind of like that, but I like it when they finally get to the point of, hey, I'm okay, fine. Let's team up. Let's this, let's that. And let's do this thing together. Overall, I enjoyed watching the movie. It's just that I wanted more from this movie than just another freaking heist. I know.
Oh, I agree with you.
I know that's technically what all of the Die Hard movies have been since the first one. I get it. But you've had five movies. You couldn't have done something a little more with this?
So they did say, one of the critics said, they said it was mercifully shorter than Die Hard 4, which I agree, there were segments of Die Hard 4 that went on too long. But they said in a week as bad as this in the cinema, meaning that there must have been a lot of crappy movies that came out that week or that time of year. It is the only new movie I would have paid to see, is what one of the one of the reviewers had said.
Yeah. So I have the time lengths right here for all of them. The original Die Hard comes in at 2 hours, 12 minutes, and 7 seconds. Second movie is 2 hours, 3 minutes, and 21 seconds. Third movie, 2:08:31. Fourth movie is 2:08:44. And the fifth movie is 1 hour, 41 minutes, and 11 seconds. So it's basically like 20-something minutes shorter, 24, 25 minutes shorter than the other four movies. And the funny thing is, it doesn't really show that it's, like, to me, I didn't feel like I was here less time. I didn't feel like this movie went by any faster than the other ones did. I didn't feel like each one of these scenes, as it progressed at a pace that I felt was decent for what the film is. It didn't feel like there were scenes that could have been, like, maybe that's what it was. Maybe they looked at the script, and maybe one of the original scripts had more scenes that they actually cut beforehand. And they probably said, oh, well, this is going to make the movie too long, or this doesn't make sense. Or I don't know what they did in the behind the scenes, but this feels like a really tight minute by minute by minute. Go, 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 go. Action, 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 action. Here's a couple of emotional moments with father and son. Here's a couple of emotional moments that really aren't going to matter in the end between John and the actual villain of the piece. And that's the problem here, I think, is that, no offense to the actor, but you ain't no Jeremy Irons, Victor. You ain't no Alan Rickman. You know, the villain here, just, there was no big box office villain. That, I think, is the problem with this movie. There is no big box office name villain. That's the problem here. You could still have the same plot. You absolutely could. Just put Red Guardian in here as the villain. Jesus, something. What I need to bring up now, because I completely missed this, I almost went back and rewatched the film before you jumped on the call for the podcast recording. Something I completely missed in the other two recordings for With a Vengeance and Die Hard 4, Mary Elizabeth Winstead as the grown-up Lucy McClane. I didn't see Lucy at the end of this movie. I don't know where the hell she was when they went back.
It's when they got off the airplane, she hugged him.
Oh, okay.
She was at the very beginning, too.
Was she at the very beginning? Okay, yes, she was. Yeah, that's right. She dropped him off at the airport, right?
Yeah, she's like, try not to make this a big mess.
That's right. Okay. Got it. I did not get to mention Mary. I forgot to mention Mary Elizabeth Winstead as the adult Lucy McClane, because Mary Elizabeth Winstead is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in general, not just as Lucy, but just in general, because damn. Her filmography, something, I don't know if it's something you'd be, how, this is a discussion for a different day, but how do you feel about Sky High from 2005?
The great
superhero, huh?
I like the movie.
Okay, good. 20th anniversary this year. Anyway, she was Gwen Grayson in that. She was, yep, the villain.
I remember. She's married to Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, she's married to, oh yeah. Yeah, that's the coolest thing, is that Harrison Dula is married to Obi-Wan Kenobi. Which makes his, and I know we're not talking about Ewan, but which is so funny, because it makes his story that he always tells about the doors, yeah, and about driving his daughters to school, but about the doors, where he's like, I will use the Jedi mind trick with the doors and whatever, but her filmography by herself, I remember. I think this was an episode of MWire where I went on a rant about Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
It's possible.
I think there's an episode that I don't even think I ever saw it, but I think I went on it. But anyway, so yeah, like I mentioned, Live Free, Die Hard, Kill the Messenger, the Birds of Prey from 2020. She is, this shocked me when I can't believe they're in the processes of doing this. I guess I can, but I can't because it's so one shot. It's, you know how I always talk about how, I mean, I mainly say this, but I know we've talked about this before, how everything nowadays is franchise, franchise, franchise. And there's no single thing anymore. There's no single film. There's no single this, single that. Apparently, she is going to be the character role of Claire Bartel in a new version of 1992's The Hand That Rocks the Cradle. This is one of the only horror movies that I actively enjoy and have watched before. The original version from 1992 starred Rebecca De Mornay, Annabelle Ascara, and Ernie Hudson's in it as the kind of, I'll say disabled instead of using retarded, I'll say disabled kind of gardener guy. And I can't believe they're doing a remake of that. For television, Mary Elizabeth Winstead debuted in 1997 as Christy on Touched by an Angel. She was on Promised Land, Passions. Let's see. Oh, I need to get that DVD. She was in an episode of one of my favorite shows starring Eliza Dushku called True Calling in 2004. She was on Comedy Bang Bang. She was on Mercy Street. She was on Fargo. And then in 2023, she made her debut main role as the live-action version of Hera Syndulla on Ahsoka. And you guys can listen to, I think it's multiple episodes of my buddy Dave Draper and I discussing Ahsoka season one and season two. I don't think we ever did season three. I forget. 12 months of Star Wars here inside Studio 2009 kind of all runs together for me sometimes. But yeah, no, I love Mary Elizabeth Winstead. And I love
her. Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, I love her as the adult Lucy McClane. That just really works for me. So cool. But overall, like I said, at the end of the day, I enjoyed watching this movie. I think my two favorite stunts were the freeway stunt, the highway stunt, where where he drives the truck off the thing.
It's yep.
Where he's driving down, where he's going down, he's using the other vehicles like a ramp, like he's driving off the tall truck. It's like one of those the car carrier trucks. And he's driving down. I like that one. And then the end with the helicopter. Oh my God, that helicopter stunt was awesome. I love that stunt. That was so good. What are some of your favorite moments?
I mean, how he showed up was pretty funny on its own. He's like, Dad? He's like, Jack,
what are you doing? Yeah.
He's like, what are you doing? Yeah. Pull over. And he's like, oh, why is he here?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. There were a lot of interesting moments, but I felt like this was not a Die Hard film.
Yeah, it was more of just a straight action film. Like,
it could have been anybody in those roles.
Yeah. The only reason why I say it probably couldn't have been is because he keeps, like, other than the father-son moments between the two of them and the memories and the this and the that and the whatever and your mother this and your sister that and blah, 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 he keeps saying, I'm supposed to be on vacation. This is supposed to be my vacation, blah, 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 blah. It's a very John McClane thing. Not every character does that kind of thing. And the other thing is, you know, this is what we do. This is why we're here. This is, this is, this is. So again, the relationship between the two of them is why I like the movie as a diehard movie. But again, you're absolutely right. This is the out of all five Die Hard movies, this is the less die hardest of the die. Like, if that makes any sense, like, you know, you have Die Hard and that one is, you know, obviously the cream of the crop for everybody. This, you got the second one. That one's okay. You got the third one. That one's kind of like also at the very tip top. You got the fourth. If I was to sit here and rank them, and we can both do this, I would probably put, and this is just me personally, I would probably put it at, let's see here, where do I put these things? Yeah, that's my favorite. Yeah.
So we're not going to grow any third arms or anything, are we? You might lose your hair. Laugh it up, kid. This is you 5 years from now.
All right, so going down number five to number one. Good Day to Die Hard is in last place because it has Die Hard moments, but I think they focused more on, hey, let's have a movie with all the explosions and all the car crashes and all of this. And don't get me wrong, I like explosions. I like car crashes. I like plane crashes. I like when helicopters go exploding into buildings and all that and whatever else, but it's the least diehardiest of all the diehards. I will put Live Free at number four. I will put the second movie at number three. Me personally, because I don't watch it as much. I would not watch it as much as I would watch the other one. The original Die Hard for me personally goes at number two, and then Vengeance goes at number one. That's how I would rank all five for me personally. And I know you'd probably switch one and two.
Yeah, I'd probably have
the original one is, number. Yeah, you'd
I'd have one as number one, and then I'd have probably three, four, two, and five. I only put two towards the end, not because I dislike it, but because I like the other two more.
So you'd have two at number four.
And it's not a reflection of the film being bad. It's just I prefer one, three, and four more. Yeah. And I saw four before I saw two, so it holds a different place.
Yeah, but if they do reboot, for me, it all comes down to whatever trailer anyone puts out. Once I see a trailer, that's how I make my first decision on whether I want to see something or not.
Well, it's like, do they go for it and try and redo it? I mean, we got Death Wish rebooted without Charles Bronson, and it was totally different.
Yeah, I didn't even know that they did that.
Well, Bruce Willis was in it.
I didn't even know.
I knew. I didn't watch it, but I knew. Clue. It wasn't very good. I'll just leave it at that. It was like the tail end, like, because he's been on the decline of, you know, crappy movies in the last like 15 years.
And again, all of these like franchise things, like all of these 80s and 90s things. Die Hard, Lethal Weapon, Death Wish, what else? Terminator, Lethal Weapon, what else? Come on. What other action franchises we got? All of them. All of these stars that debuted and did all these things, all of them are getting older. All of them are either retired or retiring or whatever. This is why, you know, head against my desk here. This is why we need new things. This, like, you can still have every, like you just said earlier, this movie doesn't feel like a Die Hard movie. This movie feels like a blank slate action movie.
Mm-hmm.
You can take this plot, take the Die Hardness out of it, take McClane's out of it, put any other character, rename the roles, and make it a new action movie franchise. you can still use this plot. If the plot isn't the problem, it's the fact.
No, the plot is the plot. Like it's going to be the same no matter.
Yeah, the plot. Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, we've had the same plots for 1,000 fucking years of Hollywood or whatever the hell. Like, you know, that's fine. Don't plug Die Hard characters into this. Create new characters, make new. Eventually, at some point, I don't know if it's going to be probably you and somebody else. I don't know how many other people want to. Maybe it'll be DJ. I don't know. The Expendables. How do you feel about The Expendables?
You know, I've never actually watched it, but I know it's a lot of 80s action.
Yeah, it's a lot of the 80s action stars, but they're in unique roles to them because they're new. They're not their established characters. Like, Sly plays a character named Barney, and they're all military type guys and things like that. And they go on these missions, and it's three different missions. And each film, they add something new each time, or they add a new 80s character each time kind of thing. And there are only three of them. And I loved them. I thought they were great for the time that they were in. I thought it was one of those things where it was a final last stand for the 80s action stars. And it was so cool. Because it was a way to get all of these guys back together in one franchise to see them all one last time before, heaven forbid, anything happened. So, yeah, I almost said Live Free or Die Hard. A Good Day to Die Hard. 0 to 5 on the geek meter for GCRN rating scale. I got to give it a 3 out of 5. 3 out of 5 on our scale is like middle ground, I think, if I remember correctly. Let me go over here to the Geek Meter and check it out. You too can go to the Geek Meter on geekcastradio.com and you can see all of our rankings and ratings and to see how exactly we break everything down. Yeah. So 3.0 is average. Meh, it's not bad, but it's not amazing either. Nothing really stands out, and it's forgettable. I wouldn't say this is technically forgettable, because like I said, I like the stuff with John and Jack as the die-hard characters, and I like the action, but I like them separately away from each other, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
What are you going to give this one?
I'll give it a 2.5 because it's not my favorite at all. I could totally leave it and be fine.
Yep. And for those curious, again, go over to geekcastradio.com/geekmeter. 2.5, below average. Bummer. The negatives outweigh the positives. Not awful, but there's just too much meh to recommend. Maybe a redeeming quality or two, but overall it leaves you wanting more. Absolutely, it does. It leaves, like, the fact that I completely missed the fact that Lucy was at the end of the movie and I thought I had to go back and I didn't go back and rewatch it, like I said, but like, yeah, like, definitely leaves you wanting more. Hell, I might change my rating to 2.5, honestly. But yeah, no. So, yeah, that's Christmas in July, folks. All 5 Die Hard movies here inside Studio 2009. I think we're going to take a quick break. You're going to hear some podcast ads and some other stuff, and we'll come back to close the show right after this.
Besides, it's hard to kill McClane.
Now you're a McClane?
Yeah, I'm a McClane. John McClane.
John McClane Jr.
Well, that makes you a senior.
That's right. Try not to forget it.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Are you missing entertainment in your life? Welcome to Captain Ruggles Gaming. Whether it's guides, roleplay content, or our shenanigans with our collaborations with the 20-year standing strong Fart Clan, also known as Fast Action Response Team, or the Wrecking Crew, we have something for everyone. So join us when we traverse the cosmos of space games, survive the undead in zombie games, or just having fun in first-person shooters or random indie games, visit us now at GeekCastRadio.com and YouTube.com/@CaptainRuggles or Google search Captain Ruggles Gaming. It's game time, and I'll see you out on the battlefield.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
For the best in science fiction, join Mark Baumgarten, Vicky Jakubowski, Zion Quiros, and Juan San Miguel on the award-winning podcast Marku 42's Universe. Doctor Who, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Star Trek, and more are all fair game with Marku 42, which has been around since 2012 in one form or another. Marku 42's Universe is proud to be a part of GeekCast Radio Network, the best place to get your geek on. Listen to us bi-weekly or weekly if we have a topic relevant for you, our listeners. Marku 42 on GeekCast Radio Network, a match made in a galaxy near you.
You are receiving a transmission from the Rod Pod. Upload pending.
Stand by for soundtrack transfer.
I am Maggie.
And I am John.
And we are trapped, hurtling through space in a ship shaped like Rodimus's head.
The ship, for reasons we haven't been able to determine, contains the entire run of the IDW Transformers Phase 2 comic, which chronicle the events following the end of the war between the Autobots and Decepticons. So we figure we may as well read them all in order and report our findings to you.
Stand by. Stand by.
Upload complete. Now.
Rod Pod. Look for us at marriedwcomics.libsyn.com, at iTunes, at Stitcher, or wherever good podcasts can be found.
So, till all are one.
Till all are one.
Do you know John Hiatt songs?
Maybe you know them from being covered by Roseanne Cash, Three Dog Night, the Neville Brothers, Emmylou Harris, Eric Clapton, B.B. King, Jeff Healey, Bonnie Raitt, or literally hundreds of others.
Maybe you have some of his albums on your shelf or in your cow-horned Cadillac right now.
I'm Jesse Jackson.
And I'm Sylvan Groff.
And we're going to dive in from A to Z. Join us on the Perfectly Good Podcast.
We're going to discuss all of your favorites and uncover some forgotten gems, from Aces Up Your Sleeve to Zero House.
Rate and debate every John Hiatt song on the Perfectly Good Podcast. Have a little faith.
Hi there, Boss fans. My name is Jesse Jackson, and I'm the host of Set Listing Bruce, a Bruce Springsteen fan podcast. For the past decade, my guests and I have shared heartfelt conversations, unforgettable fan stories, and deep dives into the lyrics that have shaped our lives, from the passionate debates over sways and waves, deciding on if Mary gets in the car or not, to deep dives from Greetings to Letter to You. We've covered it all because Springsteen isn't just music. He is a great companion on this part of the ride. So grab your suitcase and your ticket put on your favorite Springsteen t-shirt, and join me for our 10th anniversary year. Setlist and Bruce, 10 years strong and still making our way to the land of hope and dreams.
Hello, all sentient beings. Want the latest on everything going on in the Transformers multiverse? Check out the Transmissions Podcast Network. We've got weekly podcasts covering everything from Alpha Trion to Omega Supreme, from old school G1 all the way up to Cyberverse and beyond. And you don't want to miss Empire of Rust, the world's first and only Transformers live play role-playing game podcast. If you love Transformers, there's something for everyone at transmissionspodcast.com.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toy Box Soapbox, 6-0 and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover Toycast.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Have some respect for your father. Let me ask you something. You go looking for trouble, or does it always just seem to find you?
You know, after all these years, I still ask myself the same question.
All right, folks, we are back here inside Studio 2009, episode 145. Holy crap, 145 episodes of this podcast. Dude, it's been... Damn. We started this in June of 2020. It's been 5 years, and we're at 145 episodes. We are 55 episodes away from 200. And in episode 200, it's going to be the Dark Knight trilogy. So there's a teaser for you folks. But, yes, in this episode, close out Christmas in July for Die Hard. We do have, unfortunately, some very sad news. Hulk Hogan has passed away. Man.
Sadly.
Yeah, I was like, wait, what? So here's something that I didn't think was going to be, like, I didn't think I was going to talk about this. I saw him when I was 6 years old. I was just at a wrestling match with my dad. We were, I don't even know how close or how far away we were. It was May 3rd, 1986, at the Providence Civic Center in Providence, Rhode Island. At the time, I've mentioned this before, so this isn't revealing anything too personal or anything else, because y'all know me. I don't care. Whatever. My parents divorced when I was two in 1982, so my dad at the time was living in Providence, Rhode Island. I saw him and the late, great Junkyard Dog. Junkyard Dog, another wrestler who had passed away years and years ago now. They teamed up and faced off against Terry and Dory Funk. I was at that match with my dad. I saw Hulk Hogan and Junkyard Dog in the same match. Like, it was just, I don't even I just remember being there. I remember kind of seeing them. That's all I remember about it. I don't remember who did what to who. I don't remember. I'm obviously sure he said, "Hey, Hulkamaniacs, you know, let's Hulk out and what, you know." I'm sure he did all of his stuff. As of this recording, I'm going to get this episode out as fast as I can, folks. But as of this recording, unfortunately, Hulk Hogan has passed away, and it really, really sucks. It's like the end of 2020 or the middle of 2025 is just like, we're going to take this person, we're going to take this person, we're going to take this person. And I'm like, really? Seriously? Like, yikes. Just yikes. He died of cardiac arrest. Oh, damn. But he was at his home in Clearwater, Florida. Died July 24th, 2005. Wow, 2025, Mike. Come on, get it right. He was 71 years old. Emergency personnel responded to the scene, and he was transported from the residence by ambulance. But yeah, no. I just remember watching him all the time on TV and stuff. I would always root for him. I loved watching him versus Andre the Giant. It was always so fun. I think the most fun I had watching Hulk Hogan was in the wrestling stuff was him versus Roddy Piper. Those matches were always so fun. And the best movie, even though it's a cheesy as hell movie and I might have to throw it into the schedule, was, I believe it's 1991, Suburban Commando. Oh my God.
That movie's fun.
That movie is so fun and so crazy and so silly, and it shouldn't work, but it is so fun. So, yeah. Rest in peace, Hulk. Rest in peace. Oh man. All right. Altered audio. What's this thing called altered audio? Something about demystifying the moronic things about podcasting that giant media wants to have you believe.
So, it's my new podcasting book coming out August 8th on pretty much everywhere. It's going to be on Amazon, it's going to be on barnesandnoble.com, it's going to be hopefully in stores and libraries and everything else. But yeah, it's going to be all over the place.
Very cool. Very cool. Absolutely awesome. Cannot wait. It's going to be so cool, folks. Go get it. August 8th, 2025. The year is 2025. So that's what's going on there. And as always, folks, thank you for joining us here inside Studio 2009. You can leave feedback for the show in all kinds of several ways, like visiting the website, commenting on this episode. You can buy our merch, shop.geekcastradio.com. We got t-shirts up to 4XL and mugs and mouse pads and all kinds of other stuff. I don't know what else we got, whatever. But we got a bunch of stuff, so go get the merch if you like GCRN stuff. We got all kinds of stuff over there. You can send any email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can catch us on all the podcasting clients you choose to use. We are on Twitter @geekcastradio, @itsstudio2009 for the show. I am @tf2, and Mike, what is your Twitter?
@scp21.
Awesome, awesome. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork. You can also check out Studio 2009 podcast over there as well. Next time, my buddy Sean will be joining me. He will be returning. We already recorded this stuff, folks, because originally I was going to have this as episode 141. So this has already been recorded. We are starting the Fast Saga. So we are going through all 11 films. Originally, it was supposed to be 11 episodes straight in a row. But between my medical issues and health and everything else, it's kind of been flim-flammed, moved around, but we are starting with The Fast and the Furious from 2001. Going back and watching that movie, man, oh, just brought 2001 right back into my brain, and I'm like, oh my God, what a year 2001 was. So cool. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Steve Megatron.
You'll hear us back in the studio soon.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.